From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, December 18th. Coming up, we'll listen to a conversation with the head of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services about the department's progress and future changes. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Champaign officials are putting up signs for an honorary street name to remember a young woman who was shot and killed in the city. A portion of Kenwood Road is being designated as Honorary Denijah D. Staple Way. That's after she was killed in a parking lot shooting earlier this summer. Champaign resident Tanya Hubbard told the city council last night that Staple deserves to be remembered.
That young lady was going to be a staple in our community. That young lady was going to be a staple in this world.
Staple was 18 years old and had just graduated from Centennial High School, where she was a cheerleader. Her family described her as a vibrant and active member of the community. Illinois Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says under his tenure, Congress is appointing a record number of judges to serve on federal courts. Durbin is chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He tells the 21st show that two more nominees are up for approval this week. And if the Senate confirms them, that would set a new record for filling federal court vacancies.
It was a big job. We had a lot of good nominees. And the good news is we did it with 85% of the nominees being approved on a bipartisan basis. So to have Democrats and Republicans agree on anything is newsworthy. But something as important as a lifetime appointment to the federal bench is pretty important.
Durbin says under President Biden, the committee will have filled 235 vacancies pending confirmation of the two judges this week. That number would represent a quarter of the federal judiciary. Federal prosecutors appear to be nearing the end of their racketeering conspiracy case against former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan and co-defendant Michael McClain. Dave McKinney explains.
Since October, the government's case included roughly 50 witnesses, including former State Representative Edward Acevedo. He's a Madigan ally whose testimony stretched over 2 days. After retiring as a lawmaker, Acevedo got more than $140,000 in alleged no-work AT&T and ComEd consulting gigs. Prosecutors say Madigan and McClain set up the arrangement while the companies had legislation pending. Acevedo gave conflicting testimony about the true extent of work he performed, insisting he relayed information to an AT&T contract lobbyist. But prosecutors later put that lobbyist on the stand, and he said Acevedo never passed along anything to him about company legislation. Reporting from the Dirksen Federal Courthouse,
this is Dave McKinney.
Still to come, we'll listen to a conversation with the head of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, mostly cloudy with a high of 41 degrees and a northwest wind 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 23 degrees, a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 38 degrees, south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of light rain or snow after midnight and a low of 27 degrees, a west wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Friday, mostly cloudy with a chance of flurries and a high of 35 degrees and a northwest wind 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, a Christmas visit from our sister show, Dialogue, about the biggest holiday songs in Black culture. We'll also hear from one of Beyoncé's producers, Errol McCullough, about what it's like to make holiday hits.
From the harmonies, to how we should even structure the song, to how the video should go, she was instrumental in all of that.
I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Here's the number, 3,815. That's the headcount at the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Director Heidi Miller is celebrating it as progress at the chronically understaffed state agency in charge of troubled children and parents. That progress is made possible by a budget increase of more than $800 million in the last 5 years. In this interview with Charlie Slinker, Miller also says DCFS is starting to see the fruits of a study based on best practices in other states.
For example, we're rolling out the SAFE model, which is a structured decision-making tool that we can utilize to standardize our approach with families across the state to make sure that we are gathering good information upfront about families so we can best support them and then also help us move towards reunification or permanency more quickly. That model has actually been implemented in more than 20 jurisdictions around the country, and it has had really positive results. We've already begun the process of implementing that in Illinois.
Frontline staffing is a perennial challenge, has been for a lot of years. You were still short in many places, including Bloomington Normal. It makes it hard to cover all the home visits that are required, and when you can't do that, when there's not enough regular contact to know what's happening in the home, bad things can happen. So what's the progress on that? How is hiring going?
That's also a great question, and I couldn't agree more. You can't do any of these things if you don't have the people to be able to do them. I am really proud and excited to report that at DCFS, we now have the highest staffing level that we've had in more than 15 years. We actually have been approved to increase our headcount year over year by Governor Pritzker, and this year we are almost at our headcount. We are probably going to exceed our headcount before the end of this fiscal year, which is sort of something that many, many state agencies around the country, you know, are salivating at. They're jealous of this, our ability to do this. And really, we've been able to do it because over the past 18 months or so, we have really innovated our and altered our hiring practices so that we're able to offer on-the-spot hiring.
You did one of those in Bloomington last year. Are you still doing those?
We are still doing those. We're still bringing people on board. So as we go forward, we will start to do more kind of targeted approaches, looking at specific regions where we need more staff or specific divisions where we need more staff. For example, our caseloads have really improved in investigations and permanency. So those are areas where we've made huge headway in all of our hiring. We probably will still need to hire some additional folks in SCR, which is our hotline. We could use more staff there. We could use a few more licensing folks. There's some areas where, you know we will probably want to staff up a little bit more.
Hotline response times are an issue. Have they improved at all?
Very much. Our hotline response times have improved, and this predates me. Our hotline response times improved drastically. And I think, you know, even before I came on board, we had gotten the hotline response time down to 11 seconds on average and answering 99% of calls in real time. Now that actually, I came in to that improvement, and that was the result of doing some rapid results planning with the governor's administration, and we also received some support from University of Illinois to kind of look at our processes and streamline them. Now we have implemented the SAFE model at the hotline, and that model actually guides our staff through a more in-depth process of gathering information right up front. So it actually is going to increase the call time a little bit. I think when I looked at our data this morning, we're at about an average of 20 seconds for the most recent data period. So it's a slight increase in the amount of time that it takes to answer a call on average. But in exchange, we're getting much more robust information right up front.
When a child dies, often we learn that a lot of people knew there were problems. In one case in Bloomington Normal about 5 years ago, a young girl named Rika Roundtree died from abuse by her father's girlfriend, internal injuries from kicking. Multiple reporters over time had signaled there were issues. The autopsy showed this 8-year-old had 67 scars. Yet there was no department-substantiated indication of abuse until it was too late for her. How are we better now than then?
That's a really critical question. And I think those cases, those extreme cases, are difficult to wrap your head around. It's difficult for me to wrap my head around that as a parent, as a mom. I think, you know, what is important to point out is that those kinds of cases where we see extreme abuse are a very, very small minority of what we actually see every day. And I think we become dominated by those extreme cases that we see, you know, in the media that are public. And I think it's a mistake for us to run to make our policies based on those cases. We have to keep our heads focused on what it is that we're trying to do day after day. And I will say the vast majority of the cases we see in Illinois are neglect cases. And those cases can range, you know, across the board. I think, you know, there's two things that are important in this. And the reason that I tie them together is that in order to do better and really focus resources where we need to on those really intensely significant cases, we also need to not use a scattershot approach where we're trying to pull everything into the system, no matter what it is. You know, we have to like use a scalpel and refine our approach and make sure that we are focusing what we all know are not unlimited resources where they really need to be focused.
Give me an example of that, would you?
So an example is using the SAFE model that we're rolling out. What the SAFE model does is it actually provides a structured decision-making tool for our caseworkers so that they can really gather fulsome information up front and they can make sure that they are not pulling in cases to the system that don't need to be pulled in, but instead focusing our efforts on those cases where there's a really significant risk. What happens when you kind of react is you tend to sort of overdo the approach for all cases. And what happens then is you spread your resources too thin and there can't be enough focus paid to every investigation in every case. What we're trying to do is use our resources as effectively as possible, as in a way that is standard, in a way that we know will be the same no matter where you are across the state, and will really like gather the in-depth information we need to make good decisions about where we need to focus our efforts.
That's DCFS Director Heidi Miller. She spoke with Charlie Schlenker during a stop in Bloomington. Miller says she hopes for a stable budget next year, despite the state's $3 billion projected deficit. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Annalika Ochuba, Kolsum Khan, Dave McKinney, and Charlie Schlenker. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.